Good morning. Welcome to the City of Palm Coast City Council Virtual City Council Meeting. It is May 19, 2020. Pursuant to the Governor's Executive Order Number 9069, suspending all Florida statutes that require a quorum to be present in person at local government public meetings or require a local government body to meet at a specific public place, the City may conduct meetings of the City Council without having a quorum of its members present physically or any specific location and utilizing communications media technology such as telephonic or video conferencing as provided by section of the Florida statutes. As mayor, pursuant to the authority granted to me by the city charter, I declared a public emergency on March 15, 2020 in response to COVID-19. Furthermore, pursuant to those powers and the governor's executive order, I suspended all city requirements that require a physical quorum to be present to conduct this meeting and authorized that this meeting be conducted by the communications media technology under the city's state of emergency proclamation for virtual meetings executed on April 3, 2020. The city manager, pursuant to the authority granted by him by the city's initial state of the emergency for COVID-19, has closed City Hall to the public. Therefore, no member of the public will be allowed into the community wing of City Hall during this meeting. Notice that this meeting was going to be held by communication media technology and not at a physical location was posted on the city's website at least 5 days ago. The notice provided for those members of the public needing reasonable accommodation to participate in the meeting could contact the city clerk for assistance by noon on Monday, May 18, 2020. Access to this meeting is being provided via live stream on the city's website at www.palmcoastgov.com and by calling 386-223-1690. Should you need technical assistance, please call 386-986-2391. Today is May 19th, 2020. It is 9 a.m. Please rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. Please.
Mayor Holland?
Here.
Vice Mayor Clufus?
Present.
Councilmember Branquino?
Here.
Councilmember Puck?
Here.
Councilmember Howell?
Here.
Mayor, all members are present.
Thank you. We'll now move to public participation. Public participation will work as follows, as in all council meetings. If you speak at the beginning of the meeting under public participation, you will not be allowed to speak under the second public participation. The second public participation is reserved for speakers who do not have the opportunity to speak at the beginning of the meeting. Prior to calling in with your comments, if you are watching the meeting from your website or through YouTube, please mute those. So when you call in with your comments, there is no interference. If you would like to participate in public comments, call 386-223-1690. You will need to hit *9 to raise your hand to provide your comments. You will be acknowledged by being unmuted, and you will hear a message that you have been unmuted. Please begin by stating your name clearly for the record. You will have 3 minutes to speak. When there is 15 seconds left of your 3 minutes, you will hear a beep, and then at the end of your 3 minutes, you will hear another beep, and you will be muted at that time. You will not be disconnected from the meeting. All callers will have the opportunity to speak. Please be aware there may be a short pause as we switch to the next caller. We will now begin. Please state your name for the record, and your 3 minutes will begin. Thank you. We will close public comment. We will now move to agenda item number D1, which is a presentation of COVID-19 updates.
Thank you, Mayor. Yes, City Council. We have Chief Forte this morning and Captain Thomas Asconi to give us the COVID-19 update.
Good morning.
Thank you, Mr. Morton. Thank you, Mayor and Council. Before I turn it over to Captain Scone, I just wanted to give a brief update that we are about to enter into hurricane season, but we are still in wildfire season, which puts us in that very unusual sweet spot between being dry and before the tropical storms come. You know, we look forward to the summertime rains. We haven't gotten there yet. Any rain that we were supposed to get in the last 2 weeks has dissipated before it's come to our coast. And we are at a 417 drought index today. With that being said, we're going to start looking at staffing up personnel until we can get some more consistent rainfall coming in on these particular days that are more dry than others, when the humidity drops and when the winds are blowing. With the idea that hurricane season is right around the corner, by next week, this time, we'll be putting out information to the department directors to take a look at some of our home things that we could do within our own offices, such as making sure the personnel are tracking FEMA forms, which we should be really good at right now, making sure that we've got plenty of sandbags, making sure that the radio system is being trained on, and the new system that should be coming on board in the next 2 months gets instituted out citywide. Other things like considering all hand tools and power tools are up to date and maintained, as well as making sure the generators at all the facilities are being maintained in case we lose power at any of them. Those are just a few of the things that we can do before the season starts. And then there's a lot of other things that we'll get into if there's a storm approaching. So just to give you an idea of, we've got a couple more balls juggling in the air right at the moment. Things are going well department-wide, and in that case, I will turn it over to Captain Ascone for the update.
Thank you, Chief. Good morning, Council, Mayor, City Manager Tom Ascone, Captain Fire. So as of this morning, we have 46,442 residents in the state of Florida positive for COVID. In Flagler County, we have 160. According to the website, using the zip code, there's 126 in the city of Palm Coast. We have had 18 hospitalizations and still at 4 fatalities. Last week, Governor DeSantis released Executive Order 120 and 123. 120 allowed South Florida to enter into phase one, putting the entire state into phase one. And then it also allowed nail salons and hair salons to reopen. As of yesterday, Executive Order 2123 started, and that put the entire state of Florida into full phase one. And as we were able to see that the governor did small steps moving forward, we opened up at 20% capacity. So full phase one increased restaurants and food establishments to 50% capacity. In-store retail sales was able to operate at 50% building occupancy. Museums and libraries were able to open if permitted by local government. Gyms and fitness centers were able to reopen at 50% capacity as long as they were following a strict cleaning regimen. Professional sports venues in the state of Florida were allowed to reopen and host trainings, events, and games. Amusement parks were able to submit their reopening plans to the state, as well as vacation rentals. Last night, the County Board of Commission approved a vacation rental proposal that Northeast Florida, Flagler County, Duval County, St. John's County worked together to submit to the state, to submit to Governor DeSantis for approval for a vacation rental. So we are waiting for that approval to come back from the state to see if we can reopen the vacation rentals. For us, as of yesterday, we reopened our golf and tennis centers. We reopened the dog park, tennis ball, and pickleball courts at James Holland Park, the tennis and pickleball courts at Belterre Park and Seminole Woods Neighborhood Park. We're safely and slowly and methodically reopening the city on a phased reopening. We want to ensure that we do this to ensure the safety of our staff and our citizens as we continue through this COVID-19 pandemic. Thank you.
Council, do you have any questions for?
I just have a question, Chief. group sports like soccer and baseball, when do you think that we're going to be able to do something about? Open up.
Tommy, go ahead.
Okay. Yes, sir. So we're following the recommendations by the governing bodies of these group sports. Currently, Flagler County Soccer has shut down through fall. Other sports such as fast pitch softball has not released any safe play guidelines as of yet, and we're still waiting for those safe play guidelines to be given to us so we can start reopening those group sports. As of now, we're still in phase one with the governor's orders, and he is still limiting groups of 10 or less. So until we start seeing those group sizes increase and we receive the guidance from the governing bodies of group sports for their safe play guidelines, we are going to remain status quo for the safety of our staff and our citizens.
Thank you.
I just have one question in regards to the short-term vacation rentals. I listened to the county commission meeting last night. They spoke about enforcement of that because of the governor's restrictions on both individuals less than 10 that still are consistent with his rulings, as well as those that are coming from New York and renting short-term vacation rentals within the state of Florida are precluded from doing so. So I know we're self-collecting as far as our bed tax for short-term rentals in Flagler County. Suzanne Johnston and her team have a whole team that manage our short-term vacation rentals. We have a few hundred in the city of Palm Coast. So I wanted to get a better understanding of how we're going to proactively engage those that have a business such as that in our city. Are we going to send out some form of information for them with the restrictions and guidelines set forth by the governor to let them know that there needs to be a sense of consistency as well as strict requirements? Again, we all know about sanitizing, those sorts of things that are required in any type of business, and this would be consistent with that. So has there been any discussions with the enforcement arm? Is that going to be on a call-by-call basis? If there are more than 10 folks that are renting a vacation rental house in Palm Coast, and if so, how are we going to monitor who is renting those?
Well, to begin, Mayor, the enforcement of it is a difficult part, and from the discussion that I also heard last night, they're going to be placing a lot of the onus of responsibility back on the property owners to ensure that the people who are renting the home are complying with the CDC recommendations. We could also look at the timing for this to open up is if there's a relaxation of the amount of people per household, especially if they're all part of the same family or group. With the distancing, that's going to be a challenge, but I don't think the sheriff's office or law enforcement can get that involved with the idea of enforcing something that might be a code challenge. And again, when they put the responsibility back on the renters, it's very difficult for the enforcement to take hold in that respect. We're going to have to wait to see what more information comes out this week about the rental units. And as that comes out, we can work with our code enforcement department to find out what gaps are present that we need to make a bridge for.
What I would suggest is to reach out to Suzanne's office and gain access to the database in the city of Palm Coast, business-operated short-term rentals, and speak with Amy Lukasik, the tourism office, who drafted the plan that's going to be submitted to the state of Florida, to the governor, to the business office for approval for those to operate within our community. And that way we'll have all their contact information readily available, including emails. And it might be a way for us to reach out to them proactively, communicate with them as far as a policy goes. And then at the same point, I think it's even helpful. I know Bill, this is probably a question for you. I know we don't have any particular short-term rental ordinances on the books, but we do have code ordinances that restrict vehicles in driveways more than a few. We have noise ordinances and those things that really do preclude and, you know, not necessarily recognize in the residential neighborhoods that these could be business operated.
Exactly, Mayor. You're exactly correct. Obviously, as you are well aware, there's a state preemption for local governments like cities of Palm Coast to regulate per se specifically vacation rentals, short-term rentals. What we have done, what code enforcement has done, is try to deal with some of the negative effects of improper usage of short-term rentals. As you just described, noise, too many cars, complaints from neighbors, and we certainly have items on codes that deal with those, at least the consequences of the improper, use of short-term rentals where they're just not being, the inconsiderate use of short-term rentals. I did want to add one thing. I did sport enough to participate in a conference call with a lot of other local government attorneys yesterday about this. Obviously, this was just came out Friday, the order, the governor's order, 123. And it just has one sentence about vacation rentals. I have not yet had a chance to review the plan that you mentioned, that you just referenced, because it came out last night. Plans are not, it's not one fits all, as you implied. So we'll take a look at that and see exactly how it applies in the city of Palm Coast. Some of the discussions that we had with the other attorneys is that with Volusia County and other cities within Volusia County, the question is, can local governments opt out of a countywide order? And I think the answer is yes, if they would want to. We'll take a look at that. I'm not suggesting that's what we want to do, but whether it's an option or not, we need to take a look at that. As far as enforcement goes, Mayor, the comments and the conversations I heard was that while DPPR has the primary jurisdiction to enforce violations, and I would point out if you look at Section 6 in the governor's order, it specifically says that violation of this order is a second-degree misdemeanor. So I think that there is an argument that can be made that if we're not getting appropriate help from DPPR with the owners, and there is proof that there is non-compliance with this governor's order, then there could be cooperation between the DBPR and local law enforcement to try to deal with situations that warrant that kind of involvement.
And thank you for that. That's very helpful. So, Matt, I guess I would look to you as far as getting that information and bringing in code enforcement. I also think it's my understanding locally owned, operated short-term rentals can choose not to open their business, and then HOAs have a completely different set of guidelines. So I'm not sure our HOAs, I know they're short-term rental restricted. I know Tidelands, I'm not sure, no, Tidelands is not, Canopy Walk is, Sanctuary is, Grand Haven is. I'm just trying to think of all the other ones, so we may just get a better understanding of how that's going to impact within the city of Palm Coast, because it's one thing for, when the county submits a plan, but it's another thing when we have to enforce it and we have to respond to it. There's a resource that's allocated for that purpose.
Mayor, if I could add one item. I think it might be also helpful just to communicate with our property management companies here in Palm Coast and in Flagler County, because as you obviously know, I do not know at this point exactly the impact of the governor's order on VBRO or whatever that's called, or the other websites that advertise. Also, I totally agree with what you just said about HOAs and the extent that we can communicate, giving at least the HOAs a heads up. They may not be as focused on this change as we are, to give them a heads up and say, be aware, because they have deed restrictions. They have a totally different methodology of enforcement that can be very effective to try to deal with these problems.
Right. Are we good? And do you have any comments to make?
No, we're very good. We actually are having a meeting this week. Bill, I just tagged you now that we're talking, and just to get around the communication strategy, understand, you know, what our role is going to be, how we communicate with our vacation owners, with our HOAs, with our property management companies, establishing that through between parsing out the governor's order and the county document, making sure we're communicating clearly through our virtual town hall business assistance tab so we can establish very clearly what the guidance rules, procedures are, and have a system in place that we can be, you know, at least be open to monitoring that as a community, as a city.
Yep. I appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you both, Chief and Captain, for your continued leadership in response to COVID-19, and certainly your continued leadership in response to hurricanes season. So we appreciate it, and please make sure you thank all the men and women in your department as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you.
And we will now move to agenda item number F, our approval of the minutes of the May 5th, 2020 City Council Business Meeting, the May 12th, 2020 workshop. Do I have a motion?
I make a motion to approve the minutes.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Roll call, please, Virginia.
Vice Mayor Clufus?
Aye.
Councilmember Branquino?
Aye.
Councilmember Cuff?
Yes.
Councilmember Howell?
Yes.
Mayor Holland?
Yes.
This motion passes 5-0.
Thank you. Agenda item number G is a resolution. A resolution approving amending the master service agreement with Paymentus for electronic payment services.
Thank you, Honorable Mayor, City Council. We do have before us today a amendment to the Paymentus contract, actually to accomplish two purposes. One is a one-time renewal. It does list in the language that would be automatic renewals except upon 6 months' notice. I believe we'll be providing that 6 months' notice. As the resolution states, the city is currently evaluating its ERP systems. We're actually hoping to bring a framework back to council for acknowledgement and approval if required here within the next few weeks. So we will be getting into that ERP evaluation to move on. But at this time, we are asking to renew the Paymentus contract for this one term. It is, again, will run till June 2021, so it's a one-year extension. The biggest change in the agreement is with bringing on the building permits electronically. This contract would add that pass-through payment processing. It would not be a city fee. It's not a city-collected fee. It's not a city-owned fee, but it would pass that charge of electronic payment processing on through the building permit. It would be very similar to the other charges that are incurred for electronic payment processing. It would be 2.75% of the total payment made, and that goes directly to Paymentus, again, as the user charge for electronic billing payments. Is there any questions?
Councilor, is there any questions on this agenda item? I thought when we originally talked, it was going to be a six-month extension. How did it go to a year?
I'm going to let staff answer that. My understanding was there was a confusion in the actual original contract term date. Bill, do you remember that conversation?
I do not, sir.
Okay. Through when the contract extended, and I should actually let Don answer that question on why it's June 2021.
Thank you, Mr. Martin. So that question is that when we first signed and put together a contract with Paymentus, our end date was at the end of June, this coming June, whereas Paymentus didn't recognize the contract as being invalid until October. And so I originally had asked them for a 6 month extension, and they said they wouldn't be inclined to do that at the time because our contract expired in October in their minds, but because it was executed and approved by City Council in June, we therefore recognize it as being in June, and the only way we could get the meeting of the minds between the two is to get it to extend it to next June, Madam Mayor.
Mayor, I do remember that. Mr. City Manager, I apologize. I do remember a brief discussion. There was an issue about the execution of this contract. This was done, you know, four years ago now, about the timing of it. And as staff has indicated, the resolution of that in order to be able to achieve an extension of this was to extend it for 1 year.
Yeah, but, you know, we've had discussions as a council about this issue, about extension as we're going through an evaluative process, and it was my understanding, and we've talked about this, you know, vendors are going to want to do business with us, so, you know, in continue contracts, and I know, Matt, I've spoken to you at length about this, so I'm a little, well, I'm very disappointed, frankly. I don't understand how this happened, because we spoke about that a couple weeks ago, and it was 6 months.
Correct.
So that changed in a couple weeks?
No, that was my understanding moving forward, and it's the confusion on the original contract execution date. If we go with Paymentus to October, it's 6 months. We're recognizing the June start date, which technically makes it a year. It makes it till this next coming June, and we have 6 months to issue the notice of cancellation.
Mayor, your preference and council's preference for a six-month extension was certainly discussed with Paymentus. It's my understanding, I was not party to those discussions, but it's my understanding that they rejected that proposal and insisted on a one-year extension. If that is incorrect, please correct me, but that was my understanding of how this played out.
That is correct.
And who on your staff was the one negotiating this?
I know Don took lead, and did you have Helena involved with you in negotiation, Don?
I did have Helena involved in some of the, and also the procurements team involved, and then ran it by through the legal team.
I think it's a function, Mayor. The way I understood it is there was a business decision, and that is that they were taking the position that if you want an extension, you're going to do it for a year. And staff felt that it was important to have additional time to evaluate other options, and that was going to take time beyond which the current term existed. And so in order to continue to have access to the services that are provided by Paymentus, the current agreement needed to be extended. Obviously, the preference was for 6 months, but in order to get the extension, we were going to need to exercise what was available to us, which was the 1 year.
Yes. Councilmember Cobb. Did you unmute him? Councilmember Cobb, can you hear?
Yes, I was going to withdraw my question because I reread the extension agreement, but I think my only comment on this is, given how long this has apparently taken to resolve at this point, I'm not as troubled by this going until June of next year, particularly if we are shifting the user fee for, you know, charging various city permits and purchases to the purchaser. I don't know of another governmental agency that essentially eats that fee when they collect a payment by credit card. So I do think, while this isn't ideal, it does improve the situation for the city, especially looking at our budget going forward. And I certainly hope by the end of this 1 year extension, or by the end of our 6 month period to cancel this at the end of next year, we'll have something to discuss at council to implement in place of this, if that's what everybody wants to do.
Yeah, considering that this was a council priority and goal over 3 years ago now, as far as evaluating our platforms to ensure that the cost associated with it, the integration as well, and so this is 3 years we're going on. My level of frustration and patience is running out. This is a conversation we have every year, so to have this come in front of us and wait another year is frustrating. So I'm going to look to our city manager to ensure that a timeline is actually put forth in front of the city council as quickly as possible on when this process is going to move forward.
Yes.
Okay. Any other council questions or discussion? Any member of the public wish to make public comment on this? close public comment. I'll entertain a motion.
I'll make that motion.
Is there a second?
Second.
Roll call, Virginia.
Vice Mayor Clufus?
Yes.
Councilmember Branquino?
Yes.
Councilmember Cuff?
Yes.
Councilmember Howell?
No.
Mayor Holland?
No.
Motion passes 3-2.
Okay, we will now move to agenda item number G4, which is a resolution approving contracts for construction management services and architectural engineering design services for the public works facility project.
Thank you, Honorable Mayor, City Council. We have staff here to answer any questions, and we have a representative from Gilbane, I believe, still on. Don't see him anymore. This was presented at the workshop to move the existing, to move the public works facility, contract forward. This was advertised for construction management and at-risk services in accordance with our purchasing policies. The city received 4 qualified proposals and shortlisted those firms. Staff has recommended award of the project to the most qualified bidder, again, Gilbane and Company. And this would approve the agreement initially in the amount of $99,860 for pre-construction services, and then I'll continue on through the design phase at 4.25% of the total project. This is a guaranteed maximum price GMP project that will be brought back, and it is covered partially in the current fiscal year budget, and it is budgeted as the remainder of these construction services in the 2021 budget.
Council, any questions on this discussion item?
I think we extensively went over it at the last workshop.
Doug, do you see any comments? And I have none, so we'll open up to the public. Any member of the public wishes to make public comment on this agenda item, please do so at this time by calling in at 386-223-1690. We'll close public comment. We'll take it back to agenda item number H, which is the consent agenda. Items number 5 and 6 are being presented. Any member of the public wish to make public comment on either item 5 or 6, please do so at this time by calling in 386-223-1690.
Vote on 4?
Yeah, I was gonna ask, did we vote on item 4?
Item 4.
Can we just, I'll go back to that,
okay.
Thank you. Close public comment. I'll entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda as read.
I'll make that motion.
Okay. Is there a second?
I'll second the motion to approve the consent agenda as read.
Roll call, please.
Vice Mayor Clufus?
Aye.
Councilmember Branquino?
Aye.
Councilmember Cuff?
Yes.
Councilmember Howell?
Yes.
Mayor Holland?
Yes.
Mayor, this motion passes 5-0.
We will now entertain a motion to approve agenda item number G4.
I'll make that motion.
Is there a second?
Second.
Roll call, please, Virginia.
Vice Mayor Clufus?
Aye.
Councilmember Branquino?
Aye.
Councilmember Cuff?
Aye.
Councilmember Howell?
Yes.
Mayor Holland?
Yes.
Mayor, this motion passes 5-0.
Public participation, any member of the public that is not presented at the beginning of the meeting has the opportunity to do so now. We would ask you to please call in at 386-223-1690 and *9 to raise your hand to provide your comments. Are they unmuted? You can start your public comments. Please state your name for the record.
This is Mike Shoddy from Palm Coast calling in today because someone should be asking questions about the intent to sole source notice formerly posted on the city's website about hiring a construction law firm out of Orlando to manage the city's Ethics Point investigations. Why now? What is so urgent in the middle of a pandemic that the city needs to overhaul an internal process and spend taxpayer money? What was wrong with the old process? Is the city upset that the process wasn't working, or is it possible that leadership is concerned the old way was working too well? My concern is also that this is happening out of the Florida sunshine. The intent of sole source was placed on the city's website, which is currently behind the COVID-19 emergency page. The notice is now. Is it being discussed today during city manager comments? If so, it's being discussed as a telemeeting with maybe a handful of people listening. Where is the documentation to back up any assertions that this is needed or that this is a qualifying sole source purchase? More to the point, why are we spending significant amounts of taxpayer money to investigate things already in investigation by the proper government bodies at the city, state, and federal levels? Does this addition benefit the city and its taxpayers, or does it just benefit those currently under investigation? Why is a law firm that recently added a partner who happens to be a former employee of our city attorney's law firm the only company who can do this job? Why is a construction law firm the only law firm that can do a job not even remotely related to construction? Do you believe that they are the only law firm in the state that handles internal investigations? Even a simple Google search proves that's not true. Moreover, why does it even need to be a law firm? Finally, I'd add that I'm absolutely looking forward to the city manager and the mayor actually answering these questions. But more importantly, I'm looking forward to more people on this call who are willing to ask them. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker. Thank you. Okay, that concludes public participation. We will move to discussion by City Council of matters not on the agenda. Council Member Benquino.
Not at this specific moment.
Thank you. Vice Mayor Clufus.
Nothing for this meeting, Mayor.
Council Member Cuff.
Nothing for this meeting, Mayor.
Council Member Howell.
Yes, ma'am. I want to discuss an idea that I've been rolling in my head, and I want to take a page from Councilman Branquino's soliloquy of last week, and he was right on a couple of points. But specifically, I got the idea from your fantastic job of feeding the population of Palm Coast, those that were in need. I mean, that was a first-rate job. And then I got to thinking, while you fed the body, I would like to come up with a program where the city will sponsor a COVID-19 wellness event where I've been working with Bob Snyder from our health department in the county. I've been working with Carrie Baird. I've been working with a few other people. And what I'd like to do is to have an event sometime in June, maybe in July, where on a day, the citizens of our community will have an opportunity to speak to someone who is a healthcare professional that can help them with their concerns of the stress of life that they're going through under the unemployment situation, the sickness of the COVID, the lack of any signs of a positive future. And then what I'm concerned also is the next foot is going to drop, and that foot is going to be while the banks and the car dealerships and other creditors have been very benevolent and extending payments and adding it on to the end of a note, there is a bottom line, and that bottom line will be called upon. And that means that we'll start looking at foreclosures if this thing continues to go on. And of course, not only that, but the fact that the jobs are going to start just disappearing. And I know that our people in our community are going under a great amount of stress. And so what I'm proposing with the support of the City Council is to create this wellness event so that people will be able to come in, talk to a healthcare professional, be evaluated, where if there's other resources that they need, these resources will be directed, they'll be directed to Hunt. And not Hunt, but I mean, they'll be directed to call and carry on with their de-stressor types of events. So that's what I'm looking at.
Is this supposed to be a mental health event, basically?
Basically, it is, yeah. It's a wellness thing, mental wellness.
Sponsored by the city, of course.
That's correct. That's what I would like, sure. You know, the mayor fed the body. I want to feed the mind.
At this point, I think it's something worth looking at, but, I think it involves Probably. I don't know if it involves any part of the liabilities of that, maybe Mr. Richmond. Because once you sponsor something, let's say someone, as an example, I'm sorry, this is only food for thought. Let's someone comes here on an event and sees one of our professional health, mental health care, and goes out there and commits suicide. At what point does the city become liable? If that's, I don't know, it's just playing devil's advocate over here.
No, it's very...
Your point's taken, and I've talked to our city attorney, and he's willing to, work to fine-tune the bolts and the nuts so that our liability will be strictly limited. And that, certainly is a valid concern. It was a concern of mine as I was brainstorming this thing in my head. We don't want to have that happen, and of course, the idea is to prevent those types of incidents happening, and you can only do that if people have an opportunity to vent their frustrations with a professional listener.
That's correct. Councilmember Howell and I did have a discussion about this, and one of the points that came out of this, several points came out of the discussion that I had with Councilmember Howell, was one, to your point, Councilmember, which was the liability issue. And so there's obviously something we're going to need to look at to make sure that we can prepare, that we can prepare appropriate documentation, releases, that sort of thing, that would be enforceable to protect the city. Certainly, we do not want to be in the position of, good deeds going punished. Yes, that is one item that we would need to look at to make sure, and we'll take a look at other jurisdictions and see if they've done anything like this to get some idea of whether how this has worked, whether it's worked, whether there's problems with it, so that we can make sure that if we're going to go forward, if this council's desire is to go forward with this, that we can do so in a fashion that will achieve the good benefits without creating risk for the taxpayers.
I think this one we have to look very well at, especially involves the medical field, which we're not experts at. But then again, it's everything is worth it looking at due to the fact that it involves people's health. And if there's anything we could do to help, fine. Lead, I don't know. Doesn't the county have something already going on, something like this? Jack, doesn't the county have something already going like this?
Yeah, they do, and I'm tied in with Carrie Baird. Okay, so I'm pretty well, I've got everybody that's been involved with this issue trying to put together this coalition. They all kind of like the idea, and, you and I both know from being cops on the street, when we've had somebody that's very depressed and possibly suicidal, the importance that we played in talking them down, and then referring them on to other treatment systems. And so that's another part of where we're going. But I'm really concerned because, people are going to really start feeling the pressure when the creditors start calling, especially those people that have never had that happen to them in the past.
I'm very familiar with a new information resource that's been launched in Flagler Connect, driven by Carrie Baird and her team, actually working with the hospital to the north of us, Flagler Hospital, and they've done an extensive amount of work that's driven on resources to those that are in need. And Carrie's referred several people to different resources that I've received emails to with different institutes. So my suggestion would be that, I believe always mental health and those issues should be driven countywide. Countywide solutions need to be approved and adopted and administered. This should be something that is driven by the mental health professionals in not only the community but outside our community. And I know Carrie's done a great job at working closely not only with the health department in regards to that, and has done a lot of bringing in different institutes. So I'm going to have to obviously think this through. I'm not willing to make any action or take any comments other than I'm just going to have to work through this with Carrie, get to understand it a little bit more, and then I'm willing to comment at a later time. Seeing no other council comments. Okay. And I do not have any council comments today, so I will move to discussion by city attorney of matters not on the agenda.
Nothing further, Mayor.
And discussion by city manager of matters not on the agenda.
Nothing today, thank you.
Don't we have number seven?
Yes, I have something. I apologize.
That's okay.
Thank you, Councilmember Blanquino. Before you attached are the reporting of the emergency and sole source purchases. You'll notice three of the purchases were emergency purchases related to PPE for the fire department and general staff citywide in response to COVID-19. The fleet asset vehicle mentioned is a dump truck from utility where the hydraulic system completely failed and was beyond our operational repair and was in the middle of a work project, so that was sent out as an emergency. The other purchases are, in fact, sole source, so just a quick reporting of what we've purchased. We've actually kept, I don't have the current tally of the forms for FEMA time reimbursement, but as far as outright emergency purchases, we've kept that number fairly low. I believe well less than about $75,000 at this point in response to the emergency as far as asset expenditure. We have the aeroclaves we purchased early on, and then we have the mask purchases. We have some PPE purchases, and we continue to track that, and we'll bring back a report and how we're going to hopefully get reimbursement from FEMA.
So in regards to the PPE, is that going to be used for also the reopening strategies, or?
Yes. Okay. So yes, currently that PPE that we purchased is a combination of disposable and permanent masks for reopening. It was equipment for firefighters, and that will, by extension, yes, be used in our reopening. It was the thermometers we purchased for temperature scanning for employees and the public, and those types of materials.
I want to add that the clerk of court last night gave his presentation to the county commission, and the court system will be reopening, or the courthouse, if you will, the judicial center over on State Road 100 will be reopening on June 1st. And he is requiring all of his staff to wear masks, and anyone that comes into the building to also wear masks. That's a requirement of the clerk of court, and he announced that last night. So I know your team is working through the reopening of the government and the building itself, so he was pretty adamant about that. So I'm assuming you're going to be looking towards those ways and announce those during our reopening phase.
Yes, we will, absolutely. Okay.
Thank you.
No comments at this point. Don't we have to approve this?
No, this is just advisory.
Just
so
advisory.
Council
okay,
community knows.
I'll make a motion to adjourn the